Until something happens? All right. Well, I hope none of your hearts, your brackets have been too disturbed by Villanova losing last night. That's a basketball thing. What's that? Oh, you had them losing. Oh, so you're happy. And the IRS reminded me on the radio that if you do win your office bracket, make sure you claim that. Must be getting close to April. Well, good morning. This is great. I love seeing you guys. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I ask that you bless our ears today to hear what you have to say. Bless my ears to hear what you have to say, Lord. And ironically, I pray this prayer every time, but today, that's what I'm preaching on. So Lord, I ask that your Spirit stir in our hearts, that you would move in our soul and give us something to talk about in our groups afterwards. Amen. All right, I don't have a clicker. Hang on, I'll let you drop it to me. Don't throw it. Got it. Now, does it have batteries? Laser thingy works. All right. Ad lib. So we're going to be working out of Luke 15. We're going to be doing verses 1 through 10. We're going to be doing two parables. We're going to be doing the parable of the lost sheep with the 99, and we're going to be doing the 10 coins. And I think I've heard these parables my entire life. It's one of those things that if you've heard a scripture maybe too many times, you tend to gloss over it, and then somebody says, hey, why don't you speak on that? Or why don't you write a paper on that? And then all of a sudden, you go, huh, maybe that's what that means. Or maybe there's something a little bit deeper going on there. So in Luke 15, actually, I'm going to go back to Luke 14 first. Jesus has been eating at the house of the prominent Pharisee. He tries, this just amazes me. One of the things, if you read chapter 14 in Luke closely, you realize how hard Jesus is trying to talk to these Pharisees. You're just realizing what he's telling them. And maybe like a parent talking to myself when I was a teenager, and he says, you know, you really should keep your GPA above 3 or you won't get any college money. And I go, I just, and by the way, I didn't get any college money. You just realize that it's just right over their heads. And he tries to discuss humility and delayed gratification, talking about guests, and he gets no reaction. He even demonstrates his obedience to one of the great commandments, love your neighbor as yourself, by healing a man right in front of him. I always thought if I saw Jesus heal somebody right in front of me, I would have been like, oh, I get it. Thank you, Lord. They don't get it. Nothing. He even goes further by warning them that they may be in peril of not going to heaven. He says, come on, guys, you're on the invitation list, but you got to show up or you're not getting in. Nothing. So he concludes, verse Luke 14, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And I think that's what he's really getting into in Luke 15. You have two audiences. You have the Pharisees who don't hear. And you have the tax collectors and the sinners who do hear. And so his question for them is the same question for us today. Do you have ears to hear? And the second part of that is, if someone beside you or in your life has ears to hear, let them hear. Don't get in the way of it. So Point number one is, just because we hear the same words doesn't mean we hear the same thing. And I have a cute little video. Now, technology, I'm a computer guy by trade. I'm also a nurse. And now I'm a computer nurse. But nothing makes me more nervous than technology. So let's see if this works. Oh, and by the way, GFC does not condone any specific insurance nor the use of insurance. It's just a commercial. Not playing. If you click it. Well, there you go. What were some of the songs today about being humbled? I think that's in Klingon. I think that's tongues. The spirit language of the nerd. Anyways, the commercial. Okay. The commercial that I was going to show, and maybe I could completely embarrass Lexi, make her come up and act it out, but I won't. She's shaking her head no. You do it? It's an insurance commercial where you have two different things happening. You have a young girl whose dad is in, they're in the driveway, and she's got her first car. And you have another gentleman who's going to his parking spot, apparently somewhere not in the greatest part of town, and he comes to his car, and it's up on blocks. There are no wheels. I see the problem. He left his window down. But anyways, he says things like, "Are you kidding me?" And the girl says, "Are you kidding me?" And this can't be happening. So the catchphrase of this is, "Oh, it's happening, sweetheart." Anyways, they end up going to the same place and getting insurance. But they're saying the same exact words, but they're hearing two different things. So how many of you, this is an icebreaker, and I'm going to be asking a lot of rhetorical questions, which I usually get on some of the other elders about, but the cool thing is we have groups to now go discuss those rhetorical questions. Nope. Okay. How many of you guys have been married less than 2 years? Two? No. No real newlyweds. All right, how many of you have been married more than 20 years? Wow. Everybody, sorry. Guys in the northern sense of it. God, yes. I fall in between. Yeah, hopefully not. I'm glad I married that one. I don't fall less than two and more than 20. I'm somewhere in between. But one of them is, in regards to the first point, just because we hear the same words doesn't mean we hear the same thing. What's a rookie mistake in marriage? Anybody brave enough to give one example? Because I got one if you're not. You've heard this story. One of the things, if you've been married less than 2 years, or if you're getting ready to maybe start dating or something like that, when you get married, one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to, on your first Christmas, buy your wife a vacuum cleaner. No, hang on. I thought, we have a new house, we don't have a vacuum cleaner. Yes, I'm going to buy her a vacuum. And I bought it for her, and she said kindly, "Honey, if you want to buy a vacuum cleaner, just buy a vacuum cleaner. Don't buy it for me on Christmas." I said, "Oh, guess what, though? It's a used vacuum cleaner. I got a great deal on the floor model at ABC Warehouse. It's missing a few parts." Those would have been fantastic parts. And as I got to looking at it, we realized that it had also been used to vacuum ABC Warehouse a few times. The belt was broken because I never started it. I got a real good discount on that one. Not that good of a discount. And I paid for the installments for the rest of our marriage. Oh, and the last thing was I forgot to buy vacuum bags for it, and that one was full. Oh, it's happening, sweetheart. Oh. So, yeah, guys, if you're going to eventually get married, don't do it. I mean, not the marriage part, the vacuum part. Add another installment to that one. Not on Christmas. Make sure it's new. It's got all the parts. It's working. The belt's on. Make sure it's a bagless. Just go for the $600 Dyson. So, I love your sparkly tie, by the way, Dale. I'm sorry, a little ADD moment there. Happy St. Paddy's Day. So one of the things that we see in verse 1 and 2 is the Pharisees, their main complaint is, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, to a Pharisee, that was the main complaint. This man eats with sinners and welcomes them. Now, for us on the other side of things, after 20 years of marriage or after 2,000 years of reading the Bible, we can look back on it and we can read this, and what do we see? Exactly. Thank God this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. The really sad irony of the whole thing with the Pharisees is that their statement was completely true, because in verse 14, what was he doing? Or in chapter 14? He's eating with the Pharisees, and they're sinners, and he welcomes them. But they don't know it, and they couldn't admit it. And they have missed God's open and blatant invitation to saving grace and warning about continuing in sin. Oh, it's happening, sweetheart. So, you have chapter 14, butted up against chapter 15. Group questions number 2. These are the rhetorical questions. And grouping 1, that was the icebreaker. If you guys get into your groups and you really need something to kind of lighten the mood, go ahead and ask for some rookie marriage mistakes. That could get the ball rolling. I'm sorry, Robert, I did ask it. So group questions number 2 has to do with the Pharisees, and when they're in front of Jesus and they're saying that, part of it is they don't see their own sin, and so they miss the opportunity for group confession. They miss the opportunity for the grace of confessing their sins, sharing their struggles, and honestly, saving grace. So one thing that we hope to do with our groups, and I know this is the second week that we've done Circle Church, one of the things I'd love to happen is that eventually we get enough trust that while you're in these groups, you can actually share what's going on in your life. You can share what struggles you're having, and you can trust the other people in your group to give you the grace necessary to hear your sins. So, could you, I want you guys to think of this as fodder for the groups, could you confess your sin and struggles to a group? Why or why not? I tell you right now, as an elder, by the way, if you're new here, my name is John, I'm an elder here. Hi, I've been a sinner for 38 years, recovering sinner for 38 years now. And one of the harder things, and even at work, the more experience you get at work, the less you want to say, I don't know. One of the things as you grow in the Christian life, and the older you get, and the more knowledge you get, and the more responsibility you have, which may be part of the Pharisees' problem, is it gets harder and harder and harder to have a humble heart and say, I don't know. I failed. I did this. Please hear me and forgive me. So would you, the other flip side of grace, and as you look around the room, that's one of the big things we're talking about this, this season is grace. There's two sides of grace. There's the giving and the receiving. And most of us want to receive it, but we don't necessarily want to give it. So if somebody in your group says, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with pride. I'm struggling with, I have no idea, greed. Struggling with pornography or something. One of the things that they need to know in the trust of the group is, if someone tells you that, would hearing someone's confession and troubles scare you? Are you strong enough in the Lord? Are you strong enough in yourself to hear that and give grace? Not necessarily to give forgiveness, because maybe it's not against you. But some people... Oh, somebody's tapping at her watch. I'm not used to the half-hour time limit, so... So as you're in the groups, ask yourself, could you confess your sins for that group, and could you receive that? Okay. Point number two. Just because sheep can live on their own doesn't mean they should. How many of you guys have heard of somebody called Shrek the Sheep? He was big news a year or so ago. Shrek the Sheep was in the UK, I think. And he was a regular sheep who wandered off from the flock. And he spent about 6 years on his own. But he's not just a wild sheep. He is a domestic sheep. And one of the things that has to happen with them is they have to get sheared. Well, this guy lived in a cave for about 6 years. And I don't know if you can see, but he looks like a giant dirty Q-tip. I mean, he's huge. And they found him, and they sheared him, and I have alpacas at home, and when it comes time here in about a month or so to shear them, they look like giant Q-tips, and then you shave them, and they look like skinny two-year-olds or something like that. They just have no weight to them. Well, the same is true with Shrek the Sheep here. They sheared him, and unfortunately, I didn't have room to put a picture of him afterwards, but he has tiny legs. He looks like a real sheep. So we go back to Luke 3 and 4. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Why would he leave his 99 sheep? There's some things that we have to accept with the parable. We have to accept that the sheep are safe. He maybe left another shepherd with them, but that's not the point. The point is, why look for lost sheep at all? Matthew Henry, in his commentary, I don't always get a lot of stuff out of him, but one of them that I really liked was he said that first, the sheep is lost to God. Now, in America, we don't really get this very much. Lost to God, what do you mean? He can't find me? No, what that means is all of the love and adoration and works and that sort of thing that should go to God to glorify God, he's not getting it. It's sort of the idea of a feudal lord whose serfs or people don't harvest the grain anymore. Their presence is desired by a loving God, and he has a job for them to do. Secondly, you're lost to the flock. The flock being us, the church. I'm determined to knock that over. You, or they, are a unique creation, and they, the lost sheep, have something unique to give to the body of Christ. So that's a second lost with the lost sheep. Remember that. They are unique, and they have something unique to bring. I don't care if they're a heroin addict right now. I don't care if they're the Pharisee of today, maybe a politician, I don't know, who thinks that they can do it on their own. The fact is, the body of Christ needs them, and God wants them here. Thirdly, they're lost to themselves. He says, Matthew Henry says, lost to himself, he knows not where he is, he wanders endlessly, is continually exposed to the beasts of prey, subject to frights and terrors from the shepherd's care, and wanting the green pastures, and he cannot of himself find the way back to the fold. So there's no Steve McQueen sheep out there on his own, riding the California highways, you know, or the Simon and Garfunkel, he's an island. Sheep aren't made that way. Sheep need the green pastures. Sheep want still waters. And so in Psalm 23, I'm sure Jesus had this in mind when he told this. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the night paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk, and I like the King James for this one, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and my staff, they comfort me. You prepare, and here's the food thing again. I always love it when Jesus or God mentions food in the Bible. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation 3:20, here I am, meaning the Lord. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. Yay, food. And they with me. The Lord is seeking for the sheep. We're the lost sheep. We're not necessarily seeking. We're being led to the lost sheep. This is another rhetorical question that we get to discuss. Do you know someone who has wandered away from the church, God's flock? Will you pray that they will not be like the Pharisees and will instead hear God's voice calling to them? Think. You know somebody who has wandered away from the church. This passage isn't necessarily about new believers. This is about someone who's lost, who once was found. And my guess is, I have somebody in my heart, I have several people in my heart that I pray for about that. One of those people wounded me. And quite frankly, if I'm honest about it, I don't necessarily want to see him come back in the door again. The other one I dearly, earnestly pray for, I guess I pray for them both, but I have to be honest with myself. Think of that person, especially the one who you're wounded with and isn't in the church anymore. And the Lord says, pray for that person. I am knocking on their door. Pray that they'll open that door. And when he finds it, the shepherd, he joyfully puts the sheep, although if it's Shrek the sheep, he's going to be having a heck of a hat, on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls all his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And Paul takes this to another degree in Philippians 4:4, and he says, he's talking to the church in Philippi and the people that have helped bring people to the Lord, and he says, this isn't a question, this is a command basically from Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Those people that are no longer in the church that you have wounded you or you have wounded them, pray for reconciliation. Pray for forgiveness. Pray that they will come back to the church because they are a unique creation and they have something unique for the body of Christ, be it this body of Christ or another body of Christ. Their bodies and their souls yearn for it. Will you get in the way of the Lord's knocking on their door? I hope not. I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is looking towards the next parable, which is the prodigal son. I believe, are we preaching on that one in 2 weeks? Okay. Again, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, I need somebody who's under 20. No, Andy, you're not under 20. I need a kid. Anybody? Anybody? It involves money. Malachi's coming? Okay. It involves money too?
I don't have money.
You don't have money? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you guys each a quarter. Now, hang on to that quarter a sec, because I'm going to offer you something. Look at the quarter. Can you look at it? How much is that quarter worth? 25 cents? It says that, right? 25 cents? I tell you what, I'll trade you for this shiny quarter. Psst. You want to trade for a shiny quarter? Well, you got to trade me. Okay, so you won't trade for one quarter. Will you trade for two quarters? He thinks there's a trick going on. How about... How about three quarters? Three quarters? All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you two of the shiny quarters, and I'll give you another shiny quarter. All right, go have a seat. You stay here. Go ahead, have a seat. Have a seat, thanks. Go ahead, have a seat. Okay, who here... I want you to find somebody. Now, this could be fun. I want you to find somebody who's older and might be able to look at that quarter and tell you something about it. It's your quarter. I would suggest you find someone with grayer hair. Time's a ticking here, kid. Who here knows something about older coins? Go straight back to Mr. Forbush and show him your quarter. See if he can tell you something special about it. Now, I got to keep one of them. Sure. There you go. It's a silver quarter. That's all right. You're good, Malachi. Your quarter, if you were to actually put it on eBay or something, probably worth about $5. You could go ahead. It's yours. Have a seat. Now he still thinks there's a trick. Luke 15:8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And point number three is, just because it's a coin doesn't mean it's worth face value. Well, John, why is she talking about coins? It's a parable. He's not, I'll give you a hint, Jesus isn't talking about coins. The coin would most likely have been a Greek drachmas, and each one was worth about a day's wages. So the face value was 25 cents. The value of the coin was her labor that she put into it. How much is a human worth? Just guess. In atoms and minerals, how much is a human worth? 83 cents? About $4.50. $4.50, not $450. Your organs, if we were to just take you, maybe put a little chloroform on you, because we don't want bad organs. And we're going to take all your organs, we're going to sell them on the black market. Those are worth about $1 million. On the lower end of your labor, your entire working life, if you have a 40-year career, about $1.4 million. How much is your salvation worth to Christ, to God the Father? He looks at you and he doesn't see a coin. He looks at you and doesn't see a commodity. He looks at you and sees the labor that has gone into you. He looks at you and sees what it cost him to redeem you. He looks at you and he sees his son. So somebody says, God looks at me and he sees all my faults. Yes. I look at this coin that I've got, this silver coin, and it's got some smudges, it's got some scratches, it's been rubbed, old George's head has been rubbed for somebody's good luck a few times. And actually, I got that as change for a soda. But God looks at you and he sees his son. what it cost him. So when you look at these lost sheep, when you have somebody in your heart that has left the church, God sees his son. God sees what it cost him to let you go to heaven. That's what you should be doing when you pray. And I'm going to skip ahead because I'm getting late. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And Paul echoes that and says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I said, rejoice." And in the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So then we go back to the ending verse of Luke 14. "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Do you have ears to hear about his lost sheep, his lost coin, his lost labor? All right, now, what are you hearing? And the question is, how are you going to respond? And that becomes the question of evangelism. What are you going to do to hear God leading you to those who have been lost to the church? And even, I would say, those who have been lost to him and have yet to accept his grace, have yet to accept the wedding invitation that the Pharisees could not accept. So as you go into your groups, hopefully, if a group leader, I sent mine out kind of about lunchtime yesterday. If you didn't have a printer and you need an extra copy for your group, come see me. Who is the guest group today? Who's leading that? Godsouls. This is Matt Godsoul. If you're a guest here, and this is where you're going to take over?
Yeah.
Okay.